Well, last week we talked about God's amazing love. God's amazing love. And this week we're going to be talking about God's grace. Amazing grace. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read three verses, beginning with verse 19. The Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Notice here, in verse 19, we have the contrast of Adam's sin, the very first man created who sinned in the beginning and disobeyed God. And so we have Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. In other words, every descendant from Adam's bloodline, all of his descendants are sinners, of which we are. But the Bible also tells us that because of the obedience of one, and it's speaking of Jesus, that's very clear throughout the context here, through the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What an interesting contrast and comparison. What a blessing it is to know that through Christ we can be made righteous. And then notice verse 20. It talks about the law, how the law entered so that the offense might abound. In other words, God's law really exposes our heart. It exposes our stubborn will and all of that. But it also tells us not only about how the law exposes that, but it tells us how grace abounds abundantly above any and every sin. That's a blessing to know. In verse 21, it also says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's amazing grace. Let's get into it here this morning. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings today. Thank you for what's revealed in your holy word about what you have done for us that we might be made righteous. We who are the descendants of Adam, we who know with such gross clarity that we are sinners. We are sinners. We face it every day. Our shortcomings, our failures, our resistance to you even. Lord, we are thankful that through Christ we have hope. We have the opportunity of forgiveness of sin and for it to be taken away, and not just taken away, but for us to be made righteous, to be made right with you. Lord, I thank you for this, and I pray that you'd help me to explain it very clearly, help me to apply the scripture appropriately, and Father, that your Holy Spirit would direct, that it would be a help, that whoever is joining in, both in the sanctuary here, each one, young and old, that they would be able to understand the word. But Father, we also pray for those joining online, whether it's even this day, right now, or later on, or whether it's 2 months from now, that individual would recognize their need and they would see that salvation isn't through the performance of certain rituals or faithfulness in a local church, although some of those things can be good, and there are certainly directives you give us in your word and your design of the church and that kind of thing. But that in itself doesn't save. Jesus is the only way of salvation. And Lord, I pray that that individual who needs Christ today would see that, and that they would today call on Jesus in faith to save them. Help the gospel to be clear. Help us to be amazed by your grace. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing grace. Oh, the great, horrible sinner, John Newton, penned those words to that familiar song, which we'll sing at the end. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I looked the word grace up in the dictionary, in Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, and I was quite pleased with what I found. I felt that it was a very, very good definition. And here it is. Notice it on your screen there. Grace is a noun. Very first two definitions here is a noun. Unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Regeneration is speaking of salvation, to be born again and to be regenerated. And so the Bible, the dictionary is identifying that. I think that's good. I appreciate that. Unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. That's God's grace helping a Christian to live for God and to become more like Jesus. Sanctification. But then notice B, a virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. And then number two there, A, approval or favor, divine favor. So I appreciate the definition given there on the right out of the dictionary. So you notice that it said unmerited. That means undeserved. Grace is undeserved. That's why salvation, the Bible declares to us that it is not by works. Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so that's why salvation is of grace and grace alone. It is not of work, as Paul argued in a passage that otherwise, grace is no more grace and work is no more work. When you work, when you get a job, when you work for someone, you earn what you should get paid, right? But grace is not something earned. It's God's favor poured out on mankind, undeserved favor, unmerited divine assistance. Very, very a good definition there. Someone has given this acrostic numerous years ago. I'm not sure its source really, but an acrostic of the word grace. Notice that here. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, God's grace given to us is truly amazing. I want to point out a couple of things really rapid fire here on a number of scriptures that I won't have you turn to, but I'm going to have them on the screen here. And so first of all, we're going to notice that through grace we are saved. Through grace we can be saved. Notice that here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So by grace ye are saved, not by works. The Bible in numerous passages declares this. There is no question about it. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. That is how a sinner is saved. And so we can be saved by grace. We're certainly going to say more about that. But next, I want you to notice, through grace, we can grow in Christ. And this is by no means all of the aspects of grace, but I'm just giving you a few to think about. Through grace, we can grow in Christ. As a saved person, I have the opportunity to grow, and the Bible tells us to grow in grace. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can have more grace, right? Grace for salvation, to save a sinner, is so needed. And we're going to talk about it more. But we also, as a saved person, maybe you are saved, you've trusted Christ. Hey, listen, God has more. He has more of his riches, more of his help, more of that divine assistance waiting even for the undeserving. Oh, when I think about that, when you know, even as a Christian, and I've been saved for, you know, a couple decades, the fact of the matter is I recognize my failures, my weaknesses. I think I recognize most of them anyway, but somebody could point out a few more, I imagine. But you know what? We've got plenty of faults and failures, shortcomings, and all of that kind of thing, and we are all too sometimes aware of it. But you know what? God still offers divine assistance to those who seek him for it. And that brings us to another point here I want to point out, that through grace we can live godly. So not only through grace can we grow in Christ, but through grace we can live godly. God helps us to live the Christian life. Titus 2, verses 11 through 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When God's grace is poured into a person's life, it doesn't make them want to sin more, right? It's not like, oh, wow, you know, more license to do wrong. No, it actually helps us to live right. God's grace is the assistance we need. Oh, trying to live the Christian life without God's help is a disaster. It's a disaster. It's painstakingly horrible. But trusting God, resting in God, humbling ourselves before God, notice the next one, as powerful as God's grace is, it does not overpower our will. This is an important aspect to think. As we think about God's amazing grace, it's powerful. It can save the worst of sinners. It can make a struggling and corrupt individual live in victory. God's grace can do that. But notice that this powerful grace of God does not overpower your will. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. In other words, he's got more grace to give. He wants to give more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. That independent, self-made, you know, egotistical. That person doesn't get God's grace. God says he resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And so we can see more divine help is waiting for those who yield themselves to God. More divine help is waiting for those who yield themselves to God. When you rest yourself in God, when you through prayer, through seeking him, giving attention to God, and you call out to him for help, Lord, I'm in need. Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm struggling so much with sin in this area of my life. Or, Lord, I'm confused and I need you. God says, I'm ready to help. His help is right there. He is ready to help. He giveth more grace. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So very important principles to know about grace. It's not just grace to save us, but it's grace to help us grow in Christ, to live godly, and really to walk in victory. God has help waiting for those who seek him for it. All right, amazing grace. So Let's talk a little more about the amazing grace of God that brings salvation. All right, I got 3 points. Why grace? Why by grace? How by grace? And who by grace? So first of all, why by grace? Why by grace? Why is this by grace? Why is salvation by grace? Why the Christian life by grace? Well, salvation, because the scripture says here in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why does it have to be this unmerited favor? Why is that the only way to be saved? Because we don't deserve to be saved. Because we are sinners. We've broken His law. We deserve the punishment for our sin. God is holy and God is a just God. And He will judge sin. In fact, He must judge sin. And that puts us under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God. But God, in His grace, in His favor towards mankind, loved us even in our sin. Notice Romans 5, verse 8. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God wants to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, "I didn't come for the righteous." Now, there weren't any other than Himself. But He says, "I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinners, for the lost." All right? So if you recognize your sinful condition, recognize you have come short of the glory of God, you can be saved. That's the very first step in understanding how to be saved. Is first you have to deal with your sin. And so we are undeserving. Our sin brings us into condemnation. Notice in the passage we read here at the beginning in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 19. The Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So, Adam's disobedience, but Jesus' obedience. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, gave His life for us. Notice in verse 20, it tells us about the offense that we've broken the law. The offense abounds, right? We are guilty before God, but God provided the way of salvation by grace alone. It's not by works. It's not by being a good religious person. It's not by certain criteria you measure up to. It's not about that. In fact, let me just put this very plainly. There are people who have attended a religious meeting place, a church or what have you. They've attended a religious meeting place, like maybe even a Christian church of sorts. That they've attended for years. They've followed faithfully. They're nice people. They try to be honest. They're maybe a great neighbor, however it can be. But the fact of the matter is, if they have not put their trust in Jesus alone, if they're trusting in their works, they are doomed in their sin. Notice over in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, the Bible says, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained?" So here, there's a contrast here between Gentiles and Jews in the following verses. The Gentiles, first identified here in verse 30, that they did not follow after righteousness, okay? They didn't go to church. They weren't the religious type, you might say, all right? But they attained, it says. They got it. They attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Verse 31, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained." This is such a striking contrast. They didn't get it. They didn't get salvation. They didn't get righteousness, even though they were very religious. The nation of Israel at large was very religious. They had received the law. They were faithful to the temple. They brought the sacrifices prescribed, all those things. But it says, by and large, it's of course speaking in a more broader stroke of the brush, but they didn't attain to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, verse 32, because they sought it not together by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They were trying to be good people. They were trying to do right and be good, and their dependence was on themselves. It was on themselves. And countless religious people depend on themselves, their performance, their doing good, and they have not put their trust in Jesus alone. Salvation is not by works. It's by grace. It's undeserved. It's unmerited favor. All right? And notice chapter 10 here, Romans chapter 10, just below. Paul goes on in this talk here. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul says, "I wish that my own people would get saved. They're religious, but they're lost." Verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal." Zeal is passion, right? They have a passion of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, okay, they're very passionate. They're very religious. They're very spiritual people, we could say. But not according to truth, not according to knowledge. They're misguided. Verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish," would you look at it with me and read it together? "Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They were trying to be good, and they missed salvation. Countless religious people are in the same boat as Israel was in this passage. Trying to be good. Some of the nicest people you might meet, but lost. Lost. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law." Christ is the end of the law. In other words, the fulfillment. Not that the law doesn't matter in the sense that God's changed his mind about things, but Christ fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. We can have righteousness because of the Savior who is right. All right? So there's the why. Why by grace? Because I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. So it's got to be by grace. It's got to be undeserved favor from God to rescue my sin-sick soul. Well, how? By grace. How? Well, we've talked about it really in many ways already. How by grace? Well, verse 5 of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I should say, Romans 5, verse 8 tells us that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his, next word, blood. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are made right. That's what justification means. Made right. Made righteous. We are justified by his blood. This isn't talking about communion or something like that or the mass. That's not at all what this is talking about, because that's frankly not the blood of Christ. It's juice that represents the blood, but it's a memorial service. It's a time to remember what he did and the price he paid. But this is talking about literally the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago when he hung there, when he was nailed there. He was hanging there for your sin and mine. His blood, his life. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it for an atonement. The blood of Jesus is what justifies us. The price he paid on the cross. We went over those verses from Isaiah 53 earlier, our memory verses for this month, talking about how Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's a big word for sin. Selfish or self-centered sin. Self-willed sin. Iniquity. He took that on himself. That's why we can be saved. So how? How by grace? Because Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the instrument to deliver the salvation. He is the one who made grace possible. God bestowing his riches through Christ that we as sinners, that our sin debt could be covered. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Righteousness can rule because of Jesus, because of Jesus Christ our Lord, because of the price he paid. His death for us on the cross wasn't merely a display of love. Listen, countless people have risked their lives to rescue others, but that didn't bring them soul salvation. Maybe rescued them from peril, danger, whatnot, and some heroic men and women. We don't have time to make a list. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, Jesus wasn't just doing that kind of a thing for mankind, that he was just, you know, being a good man. No, the fact of the matter is, he gave his life as an atonement. The Old Testament picture of a lamb being brought and blood killed, blood shed, that's what Jesus did. He fulfilled those prophecies. He is the Messiah, the Savior, who gave his life to take away our sin. The price he paid delivered our doom. The crimes that we've committed, the judgment has already been carried out. So God Almighty, the righteous judge of the earth, can clear our account. He can clear our case. Our sin can be taken away so that it is no more, because the price has been paid. The judgment has already been carried out for those crimes so that we can be delivered. That is what Jesus did for us. The how? By grace. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, gave his life for you. Notice, lastly, who by grace? Who by grace? We've seen how by grace. It's by Jesus giving himself for us. That's why grace is possible to us. We've seen the why by grace, because we're sinners and we can't save ourselves. But who by grace? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that whosoever believeth shall be saved. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him, that's anyone. Anyone who will respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16 verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This believing is not just believing like you could say, I believe, you know, George Washington really existed. Okay, I believe George Washington really existed. But so it's not just believing, well, yeah, I believe there was a real Jesus, you know, that he walked this earth. I accept those historical facts as historical facts. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be a dependence on Jesus, believing on Jesus. That's what the Bible is talking about, putting faith in Jesus, that he is your Savior, that you're depending on him, you're casting yourself on him to save you, believing what he has said and who he is. Have you put your faith in Jesus? There is no sinner too great, but that he cannot save. We read in the scripture in chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Will you let grace save you? God's grace. You don't deserve it. I know, neither did I. But God is freely offering his grace. It's not something you can work for. You don't have to clean your life up to get saved. You just need to come as you are in all your sin and trust Jesus. Cry out to him to save you from your sin. Jesus is a wonderful Savior and he wants to rescue you. Amazing grace. No sinner too great.